97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. By the way, I saw this kind of floating around on Twitter, and I haven't had a chance to really dig deep into it, but I think it's the Baltimore Ravens that's proposed a new overtime setup for the NFL.
Yeah, it's called the spot and choose. There's three different proposals, but the spot and choose is something that they're really looking at. Under that rule, it would be interesting. I just don't know how it would work out. So, Scotty, one team would choose the yard line where the overtime drive starts, and then the other team would choose whether they want to play offense or defense. Okay, so let's say you're the Ravens and I'm the Browns, okay? You get to decide where the ball is on the field. You can put it anywhere on the field. I get to decide, okay, well, he chose his own 30. Well, I want to play defense. Okay, he chose my 5. But I can't imagine that they're going to, you know, I can't imagine they're going to let you inside the red zone. Maybe they would.
And then the other team says, all right, we'll take it there.
Yep.
Is it sudden death?
Sudden death. First to score. So it would have to be out of, that's right. So if they choose the spot and it's in, you know, next to my end zone, well, then I take the ball offensively. Now I get it first and we go score and it's over. They choose it, but they put it on their own 30. I could still choose to play offense at, because they choose it at their 30. I could still choose to play offense.
Yeah.
Because I wanted that first score. But more likely than not, I'm going to choose defense and stop them and get good field position. So it's called the spot and choose.
I don't hate it. It does seem a little
gimmicky.
Gimmicky, yeah, that's the word I'm looking for.
So they really want to try to eliminate the coin toss, being able to change and affect the possible outcome. It gives you, for instance, if Team A and Team B were playing in overtime and Team A won the coin toss, it would pick any spot on the field where the first drive of OT would start. If it picked the 10-yard line, 90 yards away from the end zone, then Team B would get to choose whether it wanted to play offense or defense. The overtime in this proposal would be a 10-minute sudden death period. So that means the first team to score would win it. The other point I wanted to make with these overtime selections, there were only 10 OTs out of 256 NFL games last year. So you don't see OT a ton. It doesn't affect a ton. By the way, if the 10 minutes expires, it would end in a tie. Another proposal would put 7 minutes and 30 seconds on the clock, and that is 7:30 no matter what. So 7 minutes, 30 seconds no matter what, and you just play the game. That's another overtime proposal. Personally, why not the college game? I get it.
That's where I'm at. Just
they don't want to play extra snaps. I get it. They want to eliminate as much hitting and as much extra snaps as they can. But what do they start them at, 25, 30?
25.
The 25?
Yeah.
What does it really matter? You know, start them at the 25. Maybe force them to go for 2 right out of the gates. I think in the college game, you get to the third overtime, and then you got to go for 2.
Correct.
In the NFL, just because I love the concept.
I do, too.
Put me at the 25.
Everybody's got a decent shot. Let's go.
Yeah. If I get held, then I've got to kick the field goal and then hold them to a field goal. Maybe don't make field goals an option.
See, I like that. The problem is I think you'd be playing for a long time. You might have multiple overtimes there.
Could.
Yeah.
Yeah, red zones get difficult in the NFL.
What's that?
Red zones can get difficult in the NFL. Not as much in college.
It
can get pretty brutal.
I like the current overtime where you get a shot unless you give up a touchdown.
Yeah, I do too.
I think it's fine. And then
I do too.
If somebody marches down and scores a touchdown, well, we didn't get a shot. Well, then don't let them score a touchdown. A field goal, I get. Like when you lost in overtime and sudden death on a 50-yard field goal, I can understand being salty about that. But allowing a team to go 80 yards and score a touchdown, that's on you. You got to get that stop.
Scotty, the other proposal, and I think that we may see this take place, is the 4th and 15 in
for the
consideration
onside.
For the onside.
Yeah, and I like that a lot.
You can take the ball 4th and 15 on your own 25.
Yeah.
And if you convert,
keep the drive going.
Then you keep the drive going. And you actually get possession of where you convert to, not you know, a restart of downs at the 15 yards. So if you throw a touchdown pass on your 4th and 15, it's a touchdown.
Yeah.
In lieu of a onside kick. I like that concept. I've always liked that concept. They will limit it to ends of halves and ends of minutes. So, because you'd get some inventive coach that would run the numbers and think, okay, well, we convert 22% of the time.
Yeah.
So we might as well go for it. I don't know if you want to give it up on the 25, but you'd probably get some inventive coach that instead of ever kicking off, is going for it on 4th and 15 to try to retain possession. It's not an easy down to convert, though.
No. And then if you get the stop, you get the ball at the 25-yard line.
Correct. Yeah. Or if you get a pick or anything, you advance the ball, then you get it where you advance it.
Yeah.
My guess is if you get a pick off a deep ball on the 4th and 15, it probably comes back to the 25. Let's say you get the interception at the 50.
Yeah.
They would probably bring that and tackle. They'd probably bring that back to the 25. Wouldn't that
would make sense.
That would make more sense.
Yeah.
But I like that thought. I like that thought for college ball. I like that thought for the NFL.
Well, the onside kick, I mean, especially now that they've made the rule changes for safety, the chances of getting an onside kick, if people anticipate that it's coming, is next to zero. Like, I don't know what the percentages are, but it's just if you're forced to kick an onside and it's, 30 seconds left in the game and you're down by five, the chances of you getting that are so incredibly slim that it's not even worth the bother anymore. Yeah. And so, I mean, you can have the surprise onside kicks every now and then, sure, but I really, really like the idea of keeping a game. I mean, geez, the interest level is going to be through the roof late in the game.
It would be. The other point I wanted to make on that was, until somebody is made the wall on the hands team, you don't understand what pain is.
Yeah.
You don't understand what neck sprains, stingers, knee dislocations, finger breaks, shoulder subluxation. You don't even get it. Having to be a wall on a hands kick team. I think they eliminated some of those things, didn't they? They eliminated some of those collisions in the onside.
Yes, and you can't stack a lot of people. Like, you have to have so many people on each side of the ball. You can't line up 10 people on one side and just,
I'm not gonna lie,
go crash test dummies.
That's something I would have loved to never had to do in my life. Because that,
I don't know if there's
it's
a more,
horrible.
I don't know if there's a more violent play back in the day. I think they've really lessened it now, but even now it's pretty violent. But back in the day, I don't think there's a more violent event in all of sports than an onside kick.
It's brutal. I didn't mind being the bullet on an onside kick. So actually on the kick team, being the bullet that comes down to blow
breaks
up the wall.
Yeah.
That was fine. Running full speed and hitting somebody that's standing there, that's pretty fun.
But imagine it's like being on that firing squad and you got these 270-pound dudes barreling down on you and you can't move. You just have to take it.
Yeah, you just got to try to absorb just got to kind of absorb it.
Yeah.
So I could understand why they want to get rid of the onside kick, completely get rid of the onside kick. I do want to see more conversion in those final seconds. It's always fun to see the team retain possession
exactly
and have a shot
unless
it's the
team you don't like,
the opposition of the team that you're loving.
Like, if the Raiders convert on a 4th and 15 and go down and kick a field goal and win a game, I'm gonna hate this rule if it happens against my team.
Yeah,
it's all about if it happens to your team.
Yeah, It's a stupid rule. Why'd we do this? Like, I'd love sudden death overtime if it's my team going down and kicking a field goal, winning a game, and the other team never touches the ball. Love that. But if it's against my team and it happens, then I'm raising bloody hell.
You know, out of the options that we just talked about, the current format is probably my favorite still.
I'm with you.
You come down, you score a touchdown on me on your first possession, game over.
Exactly.
I stop you to field goal. Well, I've got a chance to tie it or win it. I think that's the proper way.
And that's, and the other thing, too, it puts pressure on both sides. You can't give up the touchdown. But if you're the other offense and you get the ball first, because usually it was all about whoever wins that coin toss, all right. But sometimes you win that coin toss and you go three and out and you're kicking from your own 20 or, you know, and the other team, now all they have to do is kick a field goal.
Yeah.
And it's over. Like, it's fine. Leave it alone. I like it.
And am I right in saying if they come down, they kick a field goal, and I get a chance to go tie it or win it with a touchdown. If I don't score, if I'm held scoreless,
game's over.
It's end of game.
Yep.
I don't understand why we got to tinker with that. That's pretty good.
It's great.
I really don't have any issues with the NFL overtime right now. And I know that they're saying, hey, we really want to limit snaps because we're trying to increase amount of games. they want to have more games because every game they have, it's millions and millions of dollars. So I understand why they want to make more games, but we've already pushed players to the max.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think shaving off a couple of overtime plays or potential overtime plays is really going to be the end all be all. Again, only 4% of NFL games last year went to overtime. Only 10 of 256 went to overtime. So we're talking about shaving a few plays off for player safety. But we're going to add two regular season games if we possibly can. We're going to try to add one playoff game. We're going to try to expand the playoff. It's like, okay, you guys, we know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Stop telling us you care about us, because you don't. You don't care about us.
You care about money, and you want to make as much money of it as possible.
And we'll be honest, as players, we don't really care about you. Just keep paying us.
And make sure the check's clear.
Yeah. That's all that I'm really worried about.
But you make more of that guaranteed.
Yeah,
that'd be helpful for them.
The NFL would love that. It's just NFL owners will never give up that option.
No. I mean, I remember an agent saying, you know, really the best football would be, trim it back to a 14-game schedule. But, yeah, that's never going to happen.
You know, what's funny is, as a player, I would have loved to have had a guaranteed contract. I would have done anything for it. I would have loved it. You know, to know that as soon as I'm signing my name on that contract, that's my money. In reality, your agent is telling you, hey, don't forget, when you sign your name to that contract, it means nothing. Your agent, you know, if you have got a good agent, they explain to you what is actually yours and what is not yours. Now that I'm out of the NFL, I look at it, I'm like, I kind of like that they don't have guaranteed contracts, because I hate what it does to the NBA at times.
Oh, yeah.
I hate that it locks up owners and forces the albatross situation.
Yeah, I mean, near the end of his run, Andre Kirilenko's contract just devastated the Jazz flexibility.
Yeah.
On what they could do with him. Now, I'd like that they, you know, in the last couple of contract collective bargaining agreements, they've done a good job in saying, okay, well, you know what, we're still going to have guaranteed contracts, but we're going to trim them down. You can't sign anybody longer than 5 or 4 if it's for a different team. You know, so let's not, no more of these 7-year contracts that will just wreck a team. Because, and it's a line from Gordy Chiesa that I steal all the time. He said, there's no such thing as a bad contract in terms of money. It's a bad contract in terms of years. And, you know, because you can swallow a bad contract for a year or two, but when it's 7 years, it just devastates your organization. And so the more you can trim down the guaranteed years, that's where you get, if you're going to have guaranteed contracts, don't make them guaranteed for too long.
Well, NFL owners would give up a percentage of league value before they would give up guaranteed contracts. That's how against it they are. We'll never see it in the NFL.
No. But, you know, some of your superstars are getting more guarantees, though.
Yeah, they're...
But for the middle class of the NFL, you're not sniffing it.
No. It's not going to happen. I say leave overtime the way it is. I like the way it is. If you're going to do anything, change it to the college overtime, because I like the college overtime.
Yeah.
Maybe make a couple of tweaks and adjustments.
I mean, I've always commended, oh, wow, holy smokes. Yeah, we talked about how, by the way, a little bit of breaking news here. Sorry to get you off track. I just saw this pop up on Twitter. Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert have each been fined for their public criticism of the officiating. Mitchell gets a $25,000 fine, and Rudy Gobert got hit with a $20,000 fine. Pretty steep penalties there. Now, granted, they're fine. They'll be able to afford it. It's not going to hurt them too much in the pocketbook in terms of what they're making. But, yeah, they got hit pretty good. I was worried there'd be a little bit on Conley, too, but looks like Conley's been able to escape it.
$45,000.
I want to start a GoFundMe.
$45,000 to try to possibly change the way your games are called.
That's a good. It's good. If it works, it's great. It's great investment.
Hey, did you see that chart that was released? Calls between 2015
and 2018.
2018.
If you look at the under 2 minute reports during that three year span, that the Jazz have received the worst calls, essentially. Yeah.
Yeah. The most calls against the Jazz that yep. were incorrect calls.
Yep. It's pretty significant.
It was very significant. The Jazz led by quite a bit. So maybe it's worth it, and maybe this is just the start.
All right, 11:24, Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Again, thanks for making us part of your day as we continue on getting you ready for the All-Star Game. Again, Donovan Mitchell fined $25,000. Rudy Gobert gets $20,000. And, yeah, that is not unexpected that these guys would get hit in the pocketbooks for that. Andrew Reinhart with us right here on the Zone Sports Network with Wasatch Medical. No pills, no surgery, no needles. That's what people want to hear when they're talking about ED. This is a treatment that's going to treat the root of the problem, not just a Band-Aid.
Yes, that's exactly right. The pills for ED have treated the symptoms for 30 years. They're not actually fixing anything. A man still has erectile dysfunction the next go-around, of course, whereas our treatments go after the leading cause of ED, which is damaged blood vessels, kind of a plumbing issue. It opens up everything. It's kind of cool. If anybody's interested, they can go to the science page at wasatchmedicalclinic.com and read 40 clinical studies showing this can work. Even Cambridge University has studied this. I'll tell you, the science is sound, and it's a great alternative to the pills if anybody is out there struggling.
801-901-8000, that's the number to call. And we stress this a lot, Andrew. We just want people to get some information, meet with a physician, and it costs you nothing.
Yeah, the absolute worst thing that will happen is you'll say no to the treatments, totally fine, and you will come away knowing so much about your body, what these treatments can do. You'll get a blood flow rating on the strength of your blood vessels. That's really cool. You'll get a free gift that produces immediate results in the bedroom. You'll enjoy that. And you're right, it won't cost you anything.
801-901-8000. It's all right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
The Big Show. The Big Show. With Jake Scott and Gordon Monson.
Let's get out to the Zone phone. He is Tim Lacombe.
I have a guest with me right now. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. David Rose.
Hey.
How you doing?
Dave, I want to ask you about what's happening in basketball. This emphasis on the three-point shot.
It is unbelievable. I was watching a team in the SEC. The entire second half did not shoot a two-point shot. They shot a three-pointer or a free throw. That tells you where the game's going. The Jazz have got four shooters on the floor all the time, and sometimes five. I would hate to be a defensive guy right now because those are the guys who have really got the challenge. challenge of trying to figure out how they're going to stop these teams that are putting space on the floor and great shooting.
Catch the Big Show weekdays from 2 to 7. Presented by Big O Tires, the team you trust. On 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
Good, the bad, the ugly, right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network, all brought to you by Zero Res. Get carpets cleaned for just $33 per room. All you have to do is call 801-288-9376. That's 801-288-9376. I know you use Zero Res. I'm a huge fan of theirs as well.
Yes.
As they continue to do such a tremendous job across the board.
They do. They're so good, so professional. They can get anything out of your carpets.
Yeah.
If you've got animals that leave, you know, big grease stains in your carpet, and that happens. Dogs leave grease stains and dirt stains. They can lift those stains.
Well, let's start with the good, and I'm going to say good because I think he needs a new place to flourish. Alex Smith and the Washington football team are officially done. Ron Rivera said in a statement that he has granted Smith's request to be released after the two met earlier this week. Said, I had a chance to meet with Alex earlier this week. We had a very honest and real discussion. We had the chance to reflect on the 2020 season and talk about moving forward into the next year. After the conclusion of that meeting, we decided that it was best for both parties to move on, and we will be granting Alex his request to be released. So not getting cut, per se, because it's a team decision, although I think the team was fine with it. But Alex Smith is now a free agent, and I think that if I'm Cincinnati, and look, Alex still wants to play, and I'm sure he knows and thinks he can still be a starter, and I think he can too. But also, if I'm a team like Jacksonville, with Trevor Lawrence about to come in, or if I'm Cincinnati and I'm working with Joe Burrow, I would love to have Alex Smith mentor and help those guys. Now, Alex is probably like, screw that. I want to go and I want to play somewhere. Mm-hmm. But still, if he's willing to take on that role, what a great, great addition he'd make to a team.
It'd be an amazing addition. I think of it from an owner standpoint, or a general manager standpoint, which maybe my mind would be more closer to than even as a player right now, just based off of analyzing the NFL for so long now and not playing in it. But I would really be hesitant to bring Alex Smith into my organization out of the fear of that leg giving.
Yeah.
Just as a spectator watching it. Now, Alex knows that leg more than any of us, and Alex was willing to put that leg out on a football field. If he's willing to put that leg on a football field, and when he did put his leg out there on a football field, he performed well. If he's willing to do it, if he feels confident enough in that leg and the medical evaluations show that that leg is okay to be on a football field, then as an owner and a general manager, you have to set that thought and fear aside, and you've got to do what's right for your organization. Not what's right for Alex, not what's right for you in your heart and your design, what's right for your organization. If Alex fits as a starter, bring him in. If he fits as a mentor, bring him in. And don't let the fear of that leg prevent you from bringing him in. Because I'm just speaking honestly. If I'm a general manager, my first thought is, no, well, I'm not touching that guy.
Yeah.
I put him on a practice field and somebody takes a low shot on him. Somebody stumbles into his leg and that leg that's already a mess breaks in half. I can't live with myself.
That's a good point. Yeah.
I can't put him through that, but you got to set that aside and you've got to think, wait a second, wait. Okay, who's this up to? It's up to Alex. Okay, well, he wants to put his leg out there. He thinks it's fine. The medical official said that that leg is going to give him a good base. Well, then maybe he's got as much a chance to break that leg in half as Tom Brady does. So let's do what's best for our organization.
Yeah, I know. But it just still feels like
every time I watched him play.
Yeah.
Every snap, you see him in the pocket and you're like, oh, please, nobody stumble into that lane.
I know. What, I think his first game back was against, I want to say, the Texans. And J.J. Watt just blows him up. And it's all like, you know, he runs out in the field. You're like, yeah, yeah, that's awesome. He's back. And then he takes a big hit, and you're like, ooh, no.
I don't
no.
like that. Or the pocket starts to break down, and he starts to scramble, and you're like, no, 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 just go down. Go down, go down, go down. Yeah. Don't go down.
Yeah.
And I don't like feeling that way.
I'm with you.
And a lot of it just has to do with you just love the character of Alex, and you don't want him to have to go through anything else.
It's like Alex, you proved it, you did it, you came back.
I think that's what the Washington football team is thinking. Like, hey, you know what? It was a great story. Now maybe, you know, we paid for a lot of medical bills here. Maybe you should shut it down.
I would love to see into Alex's mind if he thinks to himself, I did it. Or if he thinks to himself, I haven't done what I've come back to do yet.
I think that's closer to the
You think that's where he's at? Do you think his mentality is, I did it, I came back? Or do you think his mentality is, I haven't done what I've come back to do yet?
That one.
That's who he is.
Well, then somebody give him a chance, because maybe he's still got a fire burning somewhere in that furnace that's going to give you extra effort somewhere.
Yeah. All right, Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. There's your good. Let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
Well, Scotty, we all know Jimmy Graham, a longtime tight end, fantastic tight end, maybe a Hall of Famer. Started out with the Saints back in 2010.
Yep.
He's actually currently with the Bears. He was involved in a rollover accident yesterday morning. He was able to walk away unscathed. Apparently, according to witnesses, he was driving down the road, and there was a car that was stopped blocking the road.
Yeah.
And he saw it too late and went to veer, and his car went into a roll. And he was able to get out. He was in a seatbelt, and the vehicle was protected enough. Jimmy Graham's 34 years old now. He's been in the league a lot of years. And my guess is his body's probably pretty used to being beat up and tossed around. So I'm just glad to hear he's okay on this one.
Yeah. No doubt about that. And it was just, you know, when you get in those accidents and you deal with some of that stuff, you just, you know, it's like the whole Tiger Woods thing. You know, you just, you know, you're in a rolling vehicle and you're getting thrown around in that thing. And, you know, you just hope that you're coming out of that with some level of being able to have some quality of life, let alone holding on to your life.
Yeah.
And to be able to walk away from it unscathed like that is just, it's incredible.
What was the promotion that we were running here in studio? And remember John Kimball brought that guy in here and he showed us that video of an automobile accident where a bigger guy wasn't seatbelted.
And he just wrecked everybody in the car.
And the dude just flew around like a pinball.
Yeah.
Like a pinball machine ball and just beat up everything, ripped seats up. And it was like, that's a violent.
Yeah.
Ever since then, I wear my seatbelt. Well, I did okay with my seatbelt, but now I'm a lot more vigilant with my seatbelt.
Me too. Did you ever wear a seatbelt growing up? Like, did your parents ever wear a seatbelt?
No.
Neither did mine.
No.
It was just never even a thought of putting that thing on.
I didn't actually click a seatbelt until probably 5 years into marriage.
Wow, really?
Yeah. I had clicked a seat, like I had actually clicked a seatbelt before. I'm not saying I'd never actually clicked a seatbelt. I'd done that before, but not with regularity. Not like that was the very first time that I was like, oh yeah, I actually put a seatbelt on. Now I'm pretty religious about it.
When you get like driver's ed and they're like, put the seatbelt on, I'm like, how does this even work?
Yeah.
That just wasn't a thing people did back in the day.
No. And I remember the family station wagon. We called it the backpack. And I was the youngest in the family. And I had to sit in the backpack, but it wasn't comfortable to sit in the backpack. So you had to lay on your back in the backpack in order to fill any type of comfortability. I rode all the way from Weezer, Idaho to Fresno, California in the backpack of that station wagon.
Wow.
to go to Yosemite National Park.
You're talking about the station wagon where you sit in it and you just look out the back? That type of station wagon?
Yeah, but it was a flat back. It didn't have the
seat. Oh, it didn't have the seat?
It didn't have the seat to fold it out the back. I wish.
Yeah.
I always loved that station wagon. My buddy's family had that one. This one was just a flat back.
We had a...
so miserable.
I mean, my dad would... He drove a truck, and he would have the shell on the back. And then there was this company that would do these carpet kits where you could insert, like, the carpet insert into the truck underneath the shell. So you grab a blanket and a pillow and just lay in the back of that truck, and life was pretty good. Can't do that these days. No bueno.
I won't use the name of the individual.
I know where you're going.
Nah, I'm not even going to tell the story. Should I tell the story?
As long as you don't use the name, yeah.
I won't use the name of the individual. I will tell you, I was shocked, like floored. A buddy of mine was pulling up to an event. And
that took me for a sec. Yeah.
He pulled up, and I saw four of his kids in the car, and I knew that he had many more than four kids. And so I said, hey, where's the other kids? And as I'm saying it, I'm hearing pounding. And he presses the button, and the trunk opens, and two kids get out of the trunk. And I'm looking at him like, how far did you go? Oh, well, we don't do this anything over 5 miles. I'm like, that is not okay. There is nothing okay. I'm like begging this guy, please don't ever do that again. And he's like, well, it's the only way to get the kids. It's they didn't have money.
Yeah.
Like, and back in our day, we did what we had to do.
Yeah.
Like me running in the backpack of the station wagon. It's what we had to do.
Like it's called the backpack.
What'd I say?
No, I just like how it's the vehicle.
Oh, yeah, the backpack. Yeah, the backpack. I always had to sit back there. Not
Ryan, get in the backpack.
And it was always hot.
Oh, I bet, yeah.
And I begged my sisters to roll the window.
Those don't exactly have little vents up above.
So is that where, like, you had a trip where, like, your parents made, like, a bunch of sandwiches? And were you in the backpack when you just ate all the sandwiches?
Yeah. I'm going to be back here by myself. I'm going to eat all these.
Looking like Chris Farley, the bus driver in Billy Madison. Just if I got a hold of any food, it wasn't coming away from the backpack. I can guarantee you that. That was the black hole.
We haven't even left Idaho. What are you doing?
We haven't hit the Weezer City limits yet. What is going on?
Oh, and I can remember, and I will never forget this because I can remember the fear. I'd eaten like four or five sandwiches, and I heard my mom say, can somebody please pass the sandwich container forward? And I'm like, now what?
Were there any left? Did you eat them all?
There was like one left, and I'm like, now what? I didn't plan this far. Like what? And I just remember thinking, this is going to go poorly. So I handed it forward, and there was like one left, and there was five others in the family. And it was like, please tell me that you got sandwiches back there on your lap or something. And I'm just thinking, oh, I got to just enjoy this full stomach because that's the only thing I got right now.
Well, since there's only one left, can I just finish them all off?
I left one.
Oh, man, there's your bad. Let's get to the ugly.
And, of course, the ugly.
You know, then you get in trouble with Clark because, you know, people need to eat, so that means he's got to stop at a restaurant or something like that, and that probably didn't sit well with him at all.
No, he would stop at that same stinker station and get a couple of those nut rolls, the white
with the red wrapper.
That was it. Because I think they were four for a buck or something.
Those are pretty good.
Yeah, those are decent.
And you're like, where's mine? You're like, you ate all the sandwiches. You don't get one.
They definitely weren't a Snickers bar, but they were fine. This is a crazy situation, a stalker situation for Zach Levine. A woman showed up at his house, was banging on his door last night, and demanded to see him. Again, it's Zach Levine who's playing for he's with the Chicago Bulls.
Yeah.
And this woman is just banging on his door and would not leave and was demanding to see him. The cops were called. The cops came. They detained her. They actually took her to a hospital for a mental health evaluation. So she didn't hurt Zach. The situation's calmed down. They haven't even officially arrested her at this point. They're just trying to get her some mental health evaluation and then some mental health help. But these stalker situations are always scary, man. They're always scary. Have you had any? Do you have any? Have you had? Well, there's the guy at the Mexican restaurant that was after you a little bit, wasn't he?
I don't remember this at all.
Wasn't some guy at a Mexican restaurant like, Scott?
Oh, there was this guy like, well, no, it wasn't even, no. It was like, I was at my favorite little Mexican joint down in Grantsville when we lived out in Tooele. And anyway, we have a nice meal. We leave. And then I see on Twitter, the guy's like, hey, I see you enjoyed that smothered chimichanga. I like that too. Like, bro, just come up and say hi, man. You know, it's all good.
Come say hi.
But no, Hans, to answer your question, no, I have not dealt with any stalker issues.
Is this just your way of pointing out how we don't have stalker situations, but you do?
No,
is this what you were doing?
Not at all. Not at all.
Because I know you do. When you go out to somebody's remote, you're like, hey,
Amanda, are you so lucky you get to lay next to him every night?
I mean, I've seen a guy literally take your headset and smell it.
That's a lie. That is not true. A guy did ask my wife how it feels to be next to me at night. That was a little bit off. And my wife turned to me and was like, that guy just asked me what it's like to lay next to you at night.
Is it fun to spoon?
And I said, you told him I was warm and cuddly, right? Like, you gave me props, right?
Oh, man.
Like, you didn't run me down. You said, at least tell me you said it doesn't suck. At least tell me that.
I'd like to give you a massage.
Oh, man, that's so rough. All right.
Our listeners aren't Sling Blade.
Eat some french fry potatoes while we eat taters.
All right. What you may have missed coming up next. Hans and Scotty, this is 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
Joined now by Guy Holiday, the former University of Utah receivers coach. We're curious about how it's going for you. Job changes are always hard, and you are suddenly going through one, at least suddenly to us.
I'm not going to sit here and say I'm not disappointed. When Coach and I sat down, I understood it. Believe me, I understood it, because, you know, in this game, the ultimate deal is to win. This part makes me emotional because I got enough texts, enough phone calls from former players and current players that told me I did it right, and that's all that matters. What every fan things? No, I don't do this for fans. I don't do this for fanfare. I love my players. And at the end of the day, anybody that knows me knows that's the most important thing. And that's how I weigh it out. And so I did my job.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
We've got the whole world in our hands.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone. It's Whole World News brought to you by EliteWorks. Do you hate your website, you need a new one, or you need it rebuilt? Well, you can get it rebuilt for free. Call 844-523-2777.
This is a crazy, crazy story of heroism and luck.
All right.
We're going to Thailand for today's Whole World News. A 49-year-old woman named Siroporn Niamrin,
nailed it,
was walking the beach when she came across a big lump. It was kind of a, you know, it's a big lump. It'd be about the size of a good-sized watermelon.
You just in the sand or?
In the sand, but okay. But a little flatter than a watermelon.
All right.
Maybe kind of like a loaf of French bread, but a little bit whiter. All right?
All right.
So she finds this lump in the sand, and it's not a rock, and she's kind of looking at it and kicking it around. Well, she picked it up, and she smelled it, and it smelled like fish. So she thought to herself, well, I better just take this back to the village and take a look at this thing and see what it's all about. Well, they took it back to the village.
That's why I shouldn't read ahead.
They took it back to the village, and the villagers started smelling it. And you know, tapping on it and trying to figure out what it was.
Why am I picturing Joe Dirt right here?
Well, It's very similar.
Oh, man.
They came to find out that it was whale vomit. So, but this is actually incredible. The story is going to take a turn on you guys. So this form of whale vomit, it hardens in the well, and when the whale regurgitates it, it's actually a very valuable commodity known as ambergris, A-M-B-E-R-G-R-I-S. Ambergris is something that is used in perfume.
Oh, great.
To help the smell connect to somebody. So they use this well vomit in perfume so that when you spray it,
it's like a binder.
It hits you and it binds. It quickly solidifies and binds to you. Well, they just found out that this lump of well puke is worth about $20,000 for this one.
What?
Yeah.
20 grand. Well vomit?
Yeah, for this lump of well vomit. And she said that in the village that they live in Thailand, she feels like, you know, 20 grand is going to be able to do a lot. It's going to help the village. It'll help her. And
wait, why is she worried about the village? She needs to just take care of herself, yeah. Not the village. Yeah.
20 grand.
I'm going to hand that over to the mayor.
Well, that is the American way. There's no question that is the American way. But this is what she said. If I really have the genuine ambergris, I can help my community once I find a buyer for it. I feel lucky to have found such a large piece of whale vomit. I hope it will bring me money. I'm keeping it safe in my house, and I have asked the local council to visit. So she is going to sell this big old whale vomit chunk, and she's going to help her area. So that's pretty cool.
How about you sell it and then leave your area?
Yeah. Get yourself something nice, real nice.
Get the heck out of Dodge, man.
I had no idea.
The small council is going to turn on her just to get the whale vomit. You don't want to invite them over.
They're going to come in and prima nocta the whale vomit.
Absolutely.
I hope not, because she's the rightful owner to it. Did you guys know that they used whale vomit in perfume?
No, that was news to me. I did not know that.
Does that change your mind on spraying perfume on your neck and face?
I don't usually use a lot of perfume, so no.
Well, my guess is it'd be used in cologne too, correct?
Yeah, probably. Are you a cologne guy?
Yeah, you know, my wife likes when I smell good.
Yeah, same.
But on the daily, though? Only when you go out for
a thing. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, you know,
thing, right?
Going out on a
little
date. I'm
not rocking cologne coming here. I just put on the deodorant. I'm good to go.
Once every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I'll spritz myself up with some Aqua Velva.
Love it.
Yeah, I'm more of an Aqua de Gio.
You're what?
More of an Aqua de Gio.
What are you, Scotty?
I don't know. There's something in the cabinet that I've used for a while.
That's awesome. I used to use Fahrenheit. I've had a couple good smells. Look, I like a good cologne. I'll spritz myself up.
Yeah. Good for you.
Axe. Is Axe body spray? That's like a big thing anymore.
I don't.
My wife doesn't like that smell. No, she right now
desperation.
Right now I'm using what is the smell I'm using? Is it Obsession? I think it might be Obsession.
I think that's a perfume.
Oh, maybe that is my wife's, what she's using. I like to buy my wife perfume. Do you guys like to buy your wife's perfume?
No. No, I won't mess with that.
Oh, really?
Well, just because, you know, I know, like, I don't want to that needs to be a her call.
Oh, okay.
At least, I think, for us. Like, I'm not going to say, like, hey, you need a smell like this.
Oh, I like to buy perfume because I like the smells I like.
She doesn't like it,
she typically likes it. If she doesn't like it, she doesn't use it. Then it just goes to waste.
Yeah.
But most of the time, she likes
it. What happens when Rock is going to want to be like, hey, I need some cologne, Dad?
I don't know. He's already wearing my pants, so. He's got on a pair of my pants today. 14.
Rocking. So you can't say anymore, I wear the pants in this house.
No. No.
All right. High noon, Hans and Scotty. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. If you're struggling with ED, now is the time to get it taken care of, because if you're wearing that cologne, you hope that it's going to good use, and Andrew Reinhart can make sure you're in a pretty good place. Call 801-901-8000. No needles, no surgery, and the little blue pill. I know, Andrew, guys have been taking that for decades, but you know, a lot of people develop a kind of a tolerance to it, which means you have to take more and you deal with the side effects.
Yeah, that's exactly right. If the pill is working for you, that's great. Probably keep doing it. If you're noticing that it's fading or losing its effect, that's a bad sign. That means more of it is going to be required. That increases the side effects. And it really isn't fixing anything. As far as I know, the treatments at Wasatch Medical, the only thing that treat the root cause problem of ED, it repairs damaged blood vessels. Cambridge University conducted a study. They took a bunch of guys, different ages, different kind of health conditions, put them through our treatments, and then tested the results with x-rays and showed there were more blood vessels. There was more blood flow. So really cool technology that works.
801-901-8000. That's the number to call. And just get some information. Go in and meet with a physician, and you can actually find out what the blood flow is looking like right there.
That's exactly right. We're going to do that all in an assessment of you. Really cool and helpful with our doctor. You'll get a little thank you gift that produces immediate results in the bedroom. I don't think I've ever seen it fail. Significant value. Call us now. It's all totally free.
801-901-8000. Make that phone call right now, right here on the Zone Sports Network.